Well, listeners, in case you didn't get enough sports today, here's an ad break that'll tell you how to watch even more sports. YouTube is the new home of NFL Sunday Ticket. And if you sign up now, you'll get our lowest full season price of the year. Just go to youtube.com/presale to get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket. Watch your favorite teams out-of-market Sunday afternoon games exclusively on YouTube and YouTube TV. All right, enough about sports. Go get more sports. Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends June 6th. No refunds.
It's Kirk Morrison.
Hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. I am excited. I've had my coffee. I am ready to roll. After this show is over, I go into full-on tailgate mode for the NFL draft. I'm tailgate. I'm getting ready.
Well, Kirk, is it really what you got to do after the show? Isn't there something else you got to go pick up
for
the
minute? All right. Yeah. just go. Just let everybody behind the curtain.
Yeah, why not? Let them know.
Here at the luxurious Rich Eisen Studios, here brought to you by Grainger, by the way. There's also a Pottery Barn and Crate and Barrel outlet. that my wife was like, yeah, so I heard you're in El Segundo today. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's where El Segundo, California, where the beautiful Rich Eisen Studio is. But you know, there's also a Pottery Barn or Crate and Barrel outlet near you. Could you go take a look at a couple of things for me? So, yes, I will postpone my tailgating for the NFL draft just a little bit as I go stop by a little outlet shopping here.
Kirk has a honey-do list.
I blame you guys, by the way. I blame you guys.
It's your fault.
But my honey-do list was all about the NFL draft last night, right? Yesterday, that was my NFL honey-do list, was getting ready for today, NFL draft. But somebody threw a wrench in my plans, and it was the NBA with their four games last night because they were all fascinating. Had me watching, and I had to use multiple devices. I'm watching the TV, had to use the laptop, had to use my tablet. I had to use a little bit of everything because there was so much action going on, and the guy who saw it all is Howard Beck, the host of the Locked On, one of the hosts on the Locked On Network, and a contributor to GQ Sports, at Howard Beck on Twitter. And how would you describe the four games on Wednesday? Because I looked at it, I was like, man, the NBA is doing four games on Wednesday. Why is that? And I realized before I finished speaking, oh, yeah, the NFL draft is Thursday. So why would they put four? I see why they did four games, but, man, all four games, they delivered, Howard.
Yeah, and great to be with you, Kirk. It's not really about the NFL. It's the first round of the NBA playoffs, just everything when you're planning for the potential that every series could go at least five, and we had a bunch of game fives last night. You set the schedule to have the games when it's logical to have them, to space out the games that allow for travel, figure out the NBA TV versus TNT versus ESPN versus ABC schedule. So it's really, it was all of that. And there actually would be more than one game tonight if other series hadn't ended yet. So there would be a bunch of games tonight too. Like, there could have been a whole stacked slate. It's unfortunate because those were all four really important games last night, and it was impossible unless I only got one TV myself. I don't know about you guys, but unless I was going to set up like laptops and iPhones and everything on my coffee table, I was not going to be able to watch all of them simultaneously, and I think my brain would have exploded anyway.
Yeah, I see, Howard. That's what I had to do because it was too much. As a resident Warriors fan, born and raised in the Bay Area, I had to have the main TV on that one, but then all of a sudden I'm watching what's going on in the top right corner of the broadcast, and all of a sudden that score between the Bucks and the Heat start getting closer and closer and closer. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to watch this. So I was watching that game last night. What is your biggest takeaway of just the four games yesterday? What was the biggest takeaway, I think, of the whole night? Was it the Knicks advancing? Was it the Bucks being a one seed, being bounced, Lakers losing in a game five scenario where they could have eliminated the Grizzlies? Or was it the Warriors winning three straight?
I mean, all of them were fascinating for their own reasons, but
right.
I mean, you got to start with the Bucks. You have to start, like, a number one seed losing to an eight seed in the first round in the NBA playoffs just doesn't happen very often. And in this case, you weren't just losing to an eight seed. You're losing to a Miami Heat team that had a losing record, 40-42, that had to make the playoffs through the play-in tournament.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That lost Tyler Hero, their second-best scorer along the way in the series, that didn't have that much firepower to begin with, that just wasn't that good. And they just knocked out the Bucks, who won the championship just 2 years ago and have a two-time MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, you know, listen, there's the unsightliness of it all, losing in five games besides, not even being able to extend the series as I was certain they would. You know, not calling timeout, you know, at the end of regulation there when you had a moment to advance the ball and set a play. Mm-hmm. You know, everything, every aspect of it. Not even getting a shot off at the end of overtime either. Like,
yeah.
It was just a disaster on every level. There's going to be consequences because there always are in this league, especially if you're a team with you know, legitimate championship expectations to go down that way. They have a very long and tough offseason ahead of them.
He's the host of the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Howard Beck, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. So Milwaukee is out, but it does set up an intriguing matchup, one that everybody's excited. I know the guys here, we're excited about a Eastern Conference semifinal matchup between the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks, bringing us back to our NBA Jam days, right? The 90s basketball is going to be alive and well when it comes to the Heat and Knicks. How impressed are you with the Knicks just getting out of the first round and getting to that second round, something they haven't done since 2013?
Yeah, really impressive. The whole season by the Knicks has been pretty impressive. There were times earlier this season where it looked like, you know, they're going to hover around 500. They're going to have a good solid season. Maybe they grab the sixth seed. Maybe they're a play-in team. And really, ever since they picked up Josh Hart in a really smart trade with the Trailblazers in the middle of the season, they've just taken off and have reached a whole new level. And I think what's so impressive is this is not, you know, by most standards, the traditional build of an NBA power, right? Like, this is not a star-laden team. This is not a team with you know, an MVP candidate and a bunch of all-NBA guys on it or anything. Like, Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick who developed with the Mavericks, who chose to leave them for the Knicks, who the Knicks people questioned whether they were overpaying for him, and the guy has just been an absolute stud. Didn't make the All-Star team, probably won't end up on any of the all-NBA teams when those are announced, but Jalen Brunson's playing like a top-10 point guard. Julius Randle, who might make All-NBA again, is very up and down, didn't have a great series, got hurt again in their closeout game last night, but they just play tough. They play way beyond what their names would suggest or their resumes would suggest. And that, in a lot of ways, like, is reminiscent of those 90s Knicks teams. Like, outside of Patrick Ewing, it's not like they had a ton of high-level talent to go toe-to-toe with the Bulls or the Pacers or anybody else. Mm-hmm. So, and in a lot of ways, this Knicks team and this Heat team that they're going to face,
yeah, same.
You know, it's a little like the 90s. And Jimmy Butler, like Jalen Brunson, you know, a guy who's just kind of a self-made guy, not, you know, didn't come into the league with high expectations or with, you know, jump out of the gym type of athleticism. This is going to be a cage match, I assume.
Yeah, there was four games on Wednesday. There is one game actually today, Thursday, NFL draft day. By the way, it's the Boston Celtics taking on the Atlanta Hawks as the Philadelphia 76ers await that winner, whether it's the Boston Celtics who can close out in game six tonight, or will this be a game seven? What are you looking to see in this game tonight? If the Hawks are able to go seven, do they have a chance outside if they don't win today?
Listen, the Celtics should have put this thing away a couple times already. And you know, I've seen it before in this league where the team that's clearly more talented and heavily favored, you know, starts kind of messing around. You let your guard down. You blow a big lead. Like, the Celtics have done, you know, all the ways in which you can be a great team that doesn't stay focused long enough to close out a team. Like, they've in this series. I still think the Celtics are winning the series. I think they're closing it out tonight. Maybe it's even a blowout. Like, the Hawks, they've been a, you know, basically a 500 team all season. They are a team that on paper always looks kind of like they should be much better than they are. Trae Young is absolutely a gamer and certainly has taken his game to another notch in this series. But I just don't think that they have the overall firepower to keep up with the Celtics. And the Celtics, at their best, can be a suffocating defensive team. They've got much better depth. The bottom line is that the fact that this is still a series, some credit to the Hawks, yes, absolutely. But this is really more about, like, the Celtics, an indictment of their focus And listen, if you've blown it a couple times, you could blow it a third time and have this thing go to seven. But I don't see where this is going.
Veteran NBA reporter Howard Beck joining the Rich Eisen Show. Follow him on Twitter at Howard Beck, also the host of the Locked On NBA podcast. And Howard, before I get to the West, because there's still some unsettled series in the West with the Warriors and Lakers and obviously the Kings and the Grizzlies. But I was kind of putting together an all NBA first round team. Right, because I feel like the playoffs gives us the opportunity to focus on some guys that we may have overlooked in the regular season. And I'm looking at Malik Monk, who's having an outstanding series with the Kings. Obviously, you mentioned Jalen Brunson already. Trae Young is reminding us why he's one of the better players in the league, and yet people say he's one of the most overrated players. I'm looking at Murray over in Denver, the outstanding series he had. And then Jimmy Butler continues to prove to us that regardless of what happens, the dude is still one of the baddest dudes in the NBA. Is there anybody else I'm missing on this list that it's just for the first round? I'm not saying for the whole entire, but or just showing what playoff basketball is really all about to you.
I mean, I don't want this to sound like the you know, typical New York bias of a guy based in New York, but Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely just owned the Cavs front court. I mean, that. You know, Jared Allen has been an all-star. Evan Mobley is considered to be, you know, obviously one of the bright young players in this league, runner-up for Rookie of the Year last season. And this season he was you know, he's been outstanding and is, you know, to the extent that the Cavs have a long, great future ahead of them, it's partially because Evan Mobley, people think, can turn into a superstar. Mitchell Robinson just absolutely outworked those guys, rebounding-wise, shot-blocking-wise, everything. So he's another one I would put on your first round All NBA.
Yeah, guys, because I think about Fred VanVleet a couple years ago on the Raptors run, and it was just like, okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, they become the you watch them now in the playoffs, and they become superstars the following year. So I put that list together. But as we head to the Western Conference, we got a doubleheader on Friday, two game sixes. The Warriors, they can close out against the Sacramento Kings after the Kings have went up 2-0. Draymond Green suspended in game 3. He comes off the bench in games 4 and 5. It's been three consecutive victories for the Warriors. How do you see this one playing out? Does this series end on Friday, Howard?
You know, I picked the Warriors to win the series, and I picked them to win in 6. So they're up 3-2. I expect that they should close out. But the Kings have been really impressive and very steady, and for a team that, you know, look, the franchise hasn't been in the playoffs in 17 years, and most of this Kings roster has not really had any playoff experience to speak of outside of Harrison Barnes, who obviously was with the Warriors back in the day. But the Kings have not seemed at all, in awe of where they are, of the team that they're facing, of the playoff atmosphere, any of it. They have been incredibly steady. So I still give them a chance. De'Aaron Fox, despite the broken finger, still had a pretty impactful game. Malik Monk, as you mentioned earlier, has been good. Sabonis has not been quite at the level that they need. Credit to, Kevon Looney and Draymond Green for kind of, nullifying him at times. I expect the Warriors to win. It won't shock me entirely, given the Warriors have been kind of up and down this year, if the Kings somehow won that one at Chase Center and forced a game 7. But I would lean Warriors.
Last question for you, Howard, because the last piece of that Western Conference puzzle with the Suns and Nuggets already into that next that conference semifinal in the West, the last team to qualify will either be the Memphis Grizzlies or the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers put up a dud last night, especially in that fourth quarter. I'm saying this now, Howard. Tell me if I'm wrong. Lakers don't win at home on Friday. I think the Grizzlies take this series. That's how important. I feel like this is actually the game 7 or the elimination game Friday night for the Lakers, because if they go back to Memphis, I just don't see them winning.
I mean, I totally get that. A couple different things there. I mean, one, obviously being on the road, and it's a long flight back to Tennessee from L.A. Two, the Grizzlies have the younger legs, right? Like, Ja Morant is banged up, the wrist thing. They're down bodies because they don't have Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, two key front court players. But they've got the younger legs. The travel's not going to affect them as much. The longer series isn't going to affect them as much. Being at home is certainly going to give them that extra boost. You've let them stick around this long when you had the opportunity to put them away. Like, yeah, I think it's incredibly dangerous not to close this thing out in game six. I'll never bet against LeBron James, even this version of LeBron James.
Yeah.
But yeah, they really do need to close this thing out in LA.
Sounds good. I know you'll be watching tonight, Howard, the one lone NBA game tonight, the Celtics and the Hawks. Look forward to hearing you on the Locked On NBA podcast and all your coverage of the NBA at Howard Beck on Twitter. Appreciate the time, Howard.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's Howard Beck, man, veteran NBA reporter. That's interesting. I never thought – you don't necessarily think about that as much, but younger legs of the Grizzlies is probably a little bit fresher than maybe LeBron and AD, where last night they didn't have enough. And the Grizzlies' younger legs came out in the fourth quarter, looked a lot more fresh. Friday could be the elimination game, or it could be the game seven. I know it's game six, but Lakers don't win Friday. I just don't see them winning a game seven over at the Grindhouse. Right?
Lakers looked pretty gassed.
They looked tired
in
already.
Overtime,
right.
2 games ago when they won here in L.A., and you could kind of tell, all right, it's going back to Memphis. They're going to win this game, and then we'll see what happens, but... Young legs. I thought it was interesting. TJ, I mentioned to you before the show. Memphis won by a pretty hefty margin.
Right.
Every single player was positive and plus minus, except for Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks was minus -7. That dude's had a real rough week. You know, I just think as a people, we need to all come together, give Dylan Brooks a group hug.
Yeah.
Say, it's okay, man. You made a mistake.
Yeah.
You called LeBron old. Shouldn't have done that.
Shouldn't have done that. You poked the bear. Shouldn't have done that.
It's like Animal House Mike. You effed up. You trusted us. Like, you know you effed up. Like, let's take a step back.
But we still like you.
We still think your hair and your outfits are funny.
What if they win, though? Do we hear more Dylan Brooks? Like, is he now? Does he go at Steph Curry?
No, I think he's learned his lesson.
He can't do all that, then turn on the media and go, well, the media is projecting me to be the villain.
Right.
No, you decided to put the mask on, bro.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Keep that energy up
because if you do end up winning, he's going to need to carry that energy to continue to where they want to get to.
So it's all about the series that you want. Do you want the trash talking Grizzlies versus the Warriors, or do you want LeBron and the Lakers? Lakers, Warriors. I know Sacramento's got something to say about
Grizzlies Kings, to be honest with you.
All of those games will be in the 170s. Like, it would be awesome basketball.
Yeah.
But,
oh, I thought you said be on the first time ever, all the games on NBA TV.
Spoken like a Laker fan
over here.
The Saturday 1 o'clock NFL playoff game.
Oh, yeah. That's
the Texans disrespect.
You already know. It's the middle of the season Thursday night football game. Hey, that's what happens.
Jags, but, Titans, Thursday night. You're like, what else is on?
Yeah.
What else can we watch?
The actual lone Jets game last year on national TV. National TV was the one game against the Jaguars on Thursday night, Prime Video. That was it. Yeah, and now
get ready.
We're getting the max.
We're going to see five Jets games on primetime.
Oh, no, they're saying the max.
Is five the max or six?
Five is the max, maybe a little bit of flexing
going
on.
Guess
what?
They're going to be flexed if they're – whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of flexing going on.
Fireman's going crazy right now.
By the way, hold on a second. Do we have a second?
Yeah, we got a second. Go ahead.
What a fraud Fireman is.
This guy
quit the team years ago. Gave up his tickets, refused to show up to games.
Yes.
Correct. Okay? And now he's back posting Aaron Rodgers hype videos on Instagram yesterday? Get a life, you loser. You gave up. You don't get to come back. Or is that just how sorry state Jets fandom is that they're going to let this guy back in?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Get over yourself.
That's Fireman Ed is back. That's the one thing I asked. As soon as I saw that the trade was agreed upon, I said, you know what? Where is Fireman Ed? And next thing you know, he's already back now.
He's back. Look, man, and carried that banner for years and years and years, and they let him down. Man. I get it. Sometimes you're just like,
and
I quit.
You walked away. You don't get to come back.
He's back.
When you quit the mob, do you think they just let you back in?
No.
That's not how that works.
No.
That's not how that works.
You go out on a boat and you never make it back into the shore.
All right, man. Look, Fireman is always family. Okay? He's back. A guy who's also had my back before, Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager, drafted me. Let's see if we can squeeze a Kirk Morrison draft story out of Michael Lombardi. Coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobleproject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to the Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Excited to introduce my next guest here on the Rich Eisen Show, a guy who drafted me, what is it now, 18 years ago? Wait, 2005, we're in 2023, so 18 plus seasons ago, I got the phone call from the then Oakland Raiders, but the general manager at the time was one Mike Lombardi. You can follow him on Twitter, at MLombardiNFL. And Mike, what do you remember about that 2005 draft, the third round, where you made a young kid from Oakland the happiest kid alive? Any stories that you could share?
Well, you know, we coached you in the Senior Bowl, if you remember correctly.
I do. Yes, I remember that.
You know, we kind of got to know you and felt very comfortable. Rob, Ryan, Don Martindale both liked you a lot. I think there was one young man named Jordan Beck who had a great 40 time down at San Luis Obispo that was getting a lot of love in the draft room because, remember, we are the Raiders' size and speed. And we were able to convince Mr. Davis to make the pick, which wasn't always easy. And we picked you. And then two picks later, Jordan Beck went. And then Pat Jones, the former head coach at Oklahoma State, was our tight end coach at the time. He naturally had to remind him that Beck went, and then I just took a beating from Mr. Davis after that. So, yeah, that's the one memory of the 05 draft that will never go away from me. I took a beating.
Okay. Was it that one or taking Fabian Washington ahead of Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, we made a lot of those mistakes in Oakland. You know, we misevaluated our quarterbacks. You know, we constantly did that. And, you know, we spent a lot of time with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, we knew that, you know, we Jeff Tedford, all that stuff. But, you know, what happens is when you're in this desperation mode and you kind of see it, you know, you kind of get the sense that you don't want to take a quarterback. You want to use the assets on something else. But we had Randy Moss. We had a veteran team.
Yeah.
And I think that was the die that was cast. And I think a lot of teams misevaluate their quarterbacks. It's one of my biggest regrets in my career in the NFL is how many times we thought we were good at quarterback. I'll give you another one. We're sitting there at the number two pick overall in the draft, and we take Gallery, who was supposed to be the cleanest player in the draft. And, you know, we don't take Rivers, and we don't take Roethlisberger.
Come on, Mike, you're hurting my heart here, buddy. I see how difficult it is to be a general manager.
Remember, because Rich Gannon was coming off of an MVP season.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is going on a little bit right now, too, in the league. Like, I mean, we had you on my show the other day, and you know how I feel about all these quarterbacks with the exception of Bryce Young.
Right.
I think we've overinflated them. And I think that for four guys in this draft to go in the top 10, I mean, It wasn't 6 months ago where everyone said, you know, Anthony Richardson should go back to school. Now he's going to be a top 10 pick.
So when you overinflate, are you saying that teams are hyping these guys up because people want the young quarterback? Or for me, I always look at it like this, Mike. in a salary cap world that we live in the NFL, getting the young quarterback gets you at least the fixed market rate of a rookie contract where you can control how much he makes and lets you reset your budget on how to build a team. Is it more about trying to get that piece, or is it really that we just need to get a quarterback?
I mean, I think I hear that all the time. It's, you know, you build a team around a rookie contract. But what happens if the rookie contract isn't any, if the player isn't any good?
Right.
It's like the whole 76ers, the process. Well, if you make bad picks, if you pick Michael Carter-Williams, if you pick Jabril Okafor, if you sign Tobias Harris and Al Horford as opposed to signing Jimmy Butler, I mean, what you make, it all comes down to decisions. It all comes down to the evaluation. Look, it's easy if Mahomes is your quarterback on a rookie contract. You're great. But what happens if you've got Malik Willis on a rookie contract? Are you great? I think it really, we've made too much about it. You know, I mean, look, Desmond Ridder is going to be in Atlanta. They don't want Lamar Jackson. Okay, great. That's fine. They don't want to pay the money for it. But are they sure he's a good player?
Yeah, it's the difficulty of being an executive in the National Football League and those decisions that you make. Joined now by Mike Lombardi, the former NFL general manager, host of the GM Shuffle podcast. And Mike, help me out here, because you've been in these meetings, you've been here before. When it comes to all of this noise that we hear, where this team is thinking about doing this, this team is doing this, and you have all these smoke and mirrors, as a general manager, do you block that out? Do you add to the smoke? Like, where does all the smoke truly come from? We get so close to the draft where we're trying to figure out what is the team thinking. Where do these reports come from?
Comes from mostly from the agents trying to put a spin on it, you know, helping their clients. That's what they're paid to do. So I think you have to ignore the noise, you know, and we're seeing it on VSiN in the betting market. You know, that's a big thing. You know, we see today Will Anderson has become the betting favorite to be the second pick overall in the draft. You know, is that true? I don't know. But that's what the betting market seems to indicate. And the one thing we do know about the betting market is they're fairly in tune. So, you know, a lot of this is noise. And you as a general manager got to ignore the noise. And you've got to be able to stay focused on the task at hand.
Is there ever a time during a draft where you possibly, or just a general manager executive, at some point gets anxious because there's a run on defensive end, or, man, if we don't get our quarterback, yeah, is it mortgage? Like, how do you keep control, keep focus, and stay to the board where you're seeing that the possible picks you wanted are starting to come off the board?
I mean, I think you kind of know it, right? So you're Jacksonville. You know, you lost Taylor in free agency. You got Cam Robinson could get suspended. So, you know, you're sitting down there in the 20s, and if the tackles go early, you know, you may have to jump to get a tackle. Or maybe you like a tackle where you're picking. A lot of it is based on your board. But you know this, when it runs out, it runs out. Like, you're not getting – so the object of the draft is to get starters and potential starters, right? And
correct.
That's the first, second, and the third round, right? The fourth round is more about we're going to get a developmental player, maybe a guy down the road. That's for next year's team. So – you know, it's hard to find a starting left tackle in the fourth round.
When it comes to the Seattle Seahawks, Mike, pick number 5. And they've got more picks than that. They got 5 in the first, or 5 in the top 83. What do the Seahawks do? They pick 5. They have another pick coming up at 20. What do you think the Seahawks do with that pick, with the deal for Geno Smith that is – essentially a one-year deal? Do they go for a quarterback for the future, or do they just keep adding to the roster, which they did a good job of doing in last year's draft?
Well, I mean, I think they got to look at it both ways, right? Pete went to every single quarterback workout, so obviously he's interested in evaluating them. And if they like one, I'm sure they're going to pull the trigger on it. You know, John Schneider has always been a guy who likes to trade down. I think he's made 34 trades in his NFL career as a general manager, and 20 of them he's traded down. So he likes to trade down. But will he trade down, or will he just stay there and pick? I think this is, you know, a situation. Do they take Carter? I mean, I think with the quarterbacks talking about going as early as they're going, he's in a really good spot to get a good defensive player.
He's Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager, 3-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive, the host of the GM Shuffle podcast at MLombardiNFL on Twitter. Just a couple more minutes with you, Mike, because There's a lot of chatter over the last couple of days. And when I say chatter, you never really hear it coming out of Foxborough, out of New England. But with the Patriots right now scheduled to pick at 14, there's just been this talk of floating around that the relationship between the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio, who's with the Houston Texans, their general manager, that the Houston Texans are willing to do business at number two. Could the Patriots possibly move up to go grab a quarterback, or do they stay pat with what they have already after drafting Bailey Zappe, who played last year, and now getting a real offensive coordinator for Mac Jones?
I can't see the Patriots. I mean, Bill Belichick rarely trades up in the first round. He did it with Dante Hightower. He did it with Chandler Jones, but that was at the bottom of the first. I can't see that. I think that's a really bad rumor.
Bad rumor. See, bad rumors. You hear that, Brockman? See that?
Thank goodness. Mike, are we going to do something fun? Like, what are we going to do? Mike, come on. Talk me off this ledge, because I'm worried Belichick's on the hot seat. He's coaching for his job. Kraft is unhappy. We have quarterback instability.
Guys, coaching. You know, it's funny you say that. He's coaching for his job. He's won 6 Super Bowls. Ron Rivera hasn't had a winning season in 5 years yet. He's not coaching for his job. It's hilarious. I mean, it's really. The guy's won 6 Super Bowls. He's the greatest coach of all time, and he's coaching for his job. I mean, seriously. Really?
I know, but what? But zero in the last 4 years, Mike. Come on. We're irrational. We're fans. You know how it goes.
I know we're fans, but, I mean, you know, when you lose a great quarterback, it's not easy, right? I mean, it's hard. You got to try to replenish it. I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years ago. I think they got to get Mac Jones back to the level player that he once was.
Yeah.
So is that wide receiver at 14? Is that Zay Flowers?
I mean, I love that. I love you. You know, I mean, you know, one thing about the draft, I think you should study the coaches, the movements of past performance, you know, of the draft. Everybody wants to take a receiver, you know, but Bill Walsh, I don't know if you remember Bill Walsh, but he was a pretty good coach himself, right? Yeah, and he said this all the time about receivers. You don't take receiver until it's the last position you need. He really was about defensive players, because you can't hide defensive players. You got to have 11 good defensive players.
Oh. Defensive back, so that's Joey Porter Jr. Mike, I need something.
Mike ain't giving nothing up. I love it.
I don't know how to help you. I'm just giving you information. I mean, I think they'll be good. I think they'll make some good picks. Got a bunch of picks. You know, I think this will be a first, you know, what happens in the first round. They should be able to get a good starting player, whether it's an offensive lineman, maybe a defensive lineman. And then in the second round, you know, you've got an opportunity to make some hay.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, we'll be watching all of your coverage over at the VSiN on Twitter Live, at VSN Live. Also, the GM Shuffle podcast. Mike Lombardi, the former general manager, 3-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive, and the guy who allowed me to switch my number from 53 to 52. I appreciate you, Mike Lombardi. Thanks for the time,
anytime,
my man.
Kurt. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Mike Lombardi, man. You know, I had to call Mike. You know, I had to call him. I had it. So I came in. So I was drafted by the Raiders.
Okay.
And they say, hey, next week is mini camp. So this is how the Raiders do it. They, at the time, it was, they didn't have like the rookie mini camp, right? Where you come in, it's just all rookies. It was like, no, mini camp's next week. So you go into a locker room with the full team. So I remember I walked in early because we're the rookies. So we had to be there early, a couple days early. I remember walking to my locker and it said Morrison, 53. And I was like, ooh, I wasn't feeling that number. So I remember I called Mike Lombardi, general manager, called him and said, hey, man, hey, I'm really grateful for this opportunity.
But
I love everything about this organization. You know, but is it okay if I switch my number to 52? And he says, sure, that's not a problem. Go do it. So he went. I went down to the locker room. I mean, went down to the equipment manager. He gave me pick 50. I mean, he gave me number 52. Changed my everything up. So I was all good, because I was a big Raider fan. But remember, 53, like the year before, was for Bill Romanowski. It's like just hard for me to fill in the shoes of Bill Romanowski, like 53, and it was given to. I'm into that number stuff like that.
And you were 34 in college, right?
Yeah, and I will be wearing 34 now. Had the NFL allowed us to wear our college uniforms like they're doing now, I wish they could have did that. I would have loved to wear my college number.
Bo Jackson's number. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You don't want 34, Kurt. Like, you'd rather have 53.
Yeah, but a 34. Yeah, come on. That would have been a nice little number to wear, 34, Bo Jackson. the old Tecmo Bowl days.
Right. So 52, what was 52 about? You just didn't want to be Romanowski. Is that what it was?
Yeah, and I was like, Ray Lewis was like one of my mentors too. And I was basically, they used to call me Five Deuce in college. That was like a little nickname. Because like, oh, he think he baby Ray Lewis. Like he think he, because I was just running around just tackling everybody.
Right.
So I was like, man, 52 would be nice. And then I remember Ray Lewis came to the Ravens practice at our college, at San Diego State, because they had back-to-back West Coast games. So I had a chance to meet him because one of my former teammates in college was a starting safety. So he said, hey, Kirk, I know you wanted to meet Ray Lewis. So I met Ray and still been tight with Ray ever since then. Yeah. So always wanted to wear 52, wore number 52, and then we'll see. So there it is, like Aaron Rodgers moving to number 8. Think about that, gangrene, wearing number 8, no longer number 12. And Staubach said, Joe Namath was like, okay, we'll allow you. Like, I'll allow you to wear number 12.
Yeah.
Says, nah, I want to go back to 8.
Also, you know, we talked about that a few weeks ago when we kind of knew where this was going and Joe had given him permission.
Right.
But my thought was he definitely can't take 12 because it's going to endear him more to that fan base. And I'm sure just looking now, the fan base was hungry for him and they're welcoming it anyway. Right. But if there was anybody who was maybe on the fence, I feel like him taking that number could have turned some people. So to endure himself with that fan base, I feel not taking 12 is the only way that he could have went.
Yeah, I know we got to take a break here coming up, but did you guys watch the Aaron Rodgers press conference? You saw any clips of it?
We saw a little bit of it.
We watched.
Had you never met Aaron Rodgers and you had never seen him? He looks like a general manager. He looks like an executive. If someone told me, hey, that's the new quarterback of the Jets, you kid, this guy? No way. I mean, he's all cleaned up, he's cut the hair, he's shaved.
Yeah, but he's also still like 6'4", 18, 20. So.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but he had the Jets polo on. I just wasn't used to that Aaron Rodgers. He looked
very
more like
formal.
Yeah, really, it was too formal.
Well, Brockman had a problem with the fact that the three of them had different polos on. He's like, let's get some uniform. Remember?
Yeah, Joe Douglas had the old polo with like the airplane under the Jets type. And meanwhile, Rodgers and Saleh had
the new.
It looked like the new freshie. And I was like, oh, interesting. But you see Rodgers on Pat. And he's wearing cut-off sleeves. He's wearing T-shirts with stains on it. And he doesn't shave. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
He looks like the dad on a sitcom.
He does. Like I said, he just didn't. I mean, I think I'm so used to seeing Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers gear. Remember, he used to have the ponytail. He had the long hair flowing. Yeah. Or he's got a nice little beard going. Now he's in New York. And the one thing I did learn is that if you're in a place with bad cell service, you got a FaceTime.
You got a FaceTime.
I didn't know that. See, I learned something new.
I just figured if the call didn't go through, why would a FaceTime go through? Exactly.
Because it was because he was using Wi-Fi. So I guess it's easier calling on Wi-Fi, I guess, through FaceTime. I didn't know that. I learned something new.
How about that?
And
now there's no excuses now.
There it is.
For all the girls that don't return my calls.
All right, man. Want to know, what will you be watching tonight outside of the NFL draft? Is it the players? Is it who your team's picking? Why are you watching the NFL draft tonight? As we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison, filling in for Rich.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has three great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number two expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany, the Budgetnista Alice, and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Oh, man, I'm serious. I'm excited about tonight, man. I really am, because I always say it's finally the deadline's here. Now every team, we've had all the smoke, we had all the mirrors. We've had this team may like this, this team may like this. And I said it before, this is the process of the NFL draft where it's about they build you up to tear you down. They build you up to tear you down. I always remember one thing my mom always told me when I got drafted. She says, I have tears of joy, but also I have tears of sadness. And I was like, how do you have tears of joys and sadness? Like, well, like that's kind of like oxymoron. Like, you can't be happy and sad at the same time. She says, no. She says, I'm happy because you're accomplishing a dream. You're accomplishing a goal that you set forth, that you wanted to play in the NFL and you got there. I am so happy for this moment for you. But I'm also sad because it probably won't end the way that you want it. And I said, whoa, that's kind of deep. But she was like, that's just the reality of professional sports. A lot of times it doesn't end the way that you want. A lot of us don't, you know, ride out in the sunset on a white stallion and tell everybody, hey, I'm done playing football. Usually it ends not because of you, but because someone else tells you you're done. Right. So embrace your moment, embrace all of it, have fun, accomplish your goal, but just know that there will be an end in sight. And you hope that it's for a long, long time away. I played 8 football seasons in the NFL and loved every season, you know, whether it was the 2-14 year or an 8-8 year, whatever it may be, man. It was a fun ride and a fun journey. And I look forward to a lot of these guys seeing where they go and what they do. I pulled up something because Tuesday, May 2nd is the 5th-year option day.
Oh,
that's the players who were drafted in the 2020 NFL draft. Will their 5th-year options be picked up? And so just a little exercise. I'm going through just a little bit because 3 seasons ago, just want to go through these names really quickly with you guys and see, you know, kind of how this day, the excitement of the 2020 draft, and we thought how these players would pan out. And in 3 short seasons, these are what some of the players look like. Pick number 1, Joe Burrow.
Hey, thumbs up. Yeah, just had his option picked up the other day.
Pick number 2, Chase Young.
Did not get his option picked up.
And then also, too, we say he's been very underwhelming in 3 short seasons in the National Football League. Jeff Okuda, the 3rd overall pick, he's already on team number 2.
Traded.
Okay. Andrew Thomas, been up and down a little bit with the New York Giants. You could say Tua Tagovailoa, the 5th pick overall. Is the jury still out on Tua? Is it the injury history? Kind of scary a little bit.
I mean, he mentioned thinking about retiring this past offseason.
Remember, these guys were drafted 3 seasons ago.
Yep.
It's not that far along, not that long ago. Justin Herbert, pick 6. I think that's a no-brainer. He's picked up. Derrick Brown, defensive lineman. Hasn't really made a ton of noise, but had a solid start so far. Isaiah Simmons at pick 8. Remember that? In 2020 NFL draft.
That dude was a monster at Clemson.
Monster at Clemson. Has not been a monster in the National Football League. C.J. Henderson, already on a second team already. Remember, how many guys are on their second team already? These are top 10 picks, and in 3 years are already on a different team. We're not even out of the top 10 yet from the 2020 draft. Jedrick Wills. Cleveland might not pick up his 5th-year option. Mekhi Becton. Very underwhelming. Injury prone.
Only played 15 games.
Yeah. Won't even go. Number 12 overall, Henry Ruggs. we already know his situation with the Raiders. He's not in there. Tristan Wirfs.
Superstar. Redraft, he's the 2nd overall pick.
Oh, Tristan Wirfs is a
Maybe not with those quarterbacks.
I won't say. But. Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Javon Kinlaw. 49ers. Jerry Jeudy was in trade discussions, possibly. He got picked to the Denver Broncos.
Still a good player.
Yeah. But other guys, look, A.J. Terrell has been outstanding, one of the bright young corners. CeeDee Lamb.
Star.
Austin Jackson, pick 18. He's been up and down with the Miami Dolphins. Damon Arnett, no longer in the National Football League in 2019.
Wow.
Ke'Lavon Chaisson's been up and down. Jalen Reagor, already on his 2nd team already.
Ugh.
All right. Oh, then by the way, I'll stop here. But pick 22 that year in the 2020 draft, guy by the name of Justin Jefferson.
Star.
But look how far we had to get to star.
He's top 5 in a redraft, yeah.
Oh, redraft, he's top 5. CeeDee Lamb, I think he's in my top 5. Tristan Wirfs, you mentioned.
And probably Herbert goes second.
Yeah, Herbert goes second overall, I think. And then Obviously, Joe Burrow has been the consensus number one. He's number proved one. To be
good pick. When you think about redrafts, you got to remember, though, second round had Hurts.
Oh, yeah. There were some hits down there.
T. Higgins in the second round.
Jonathan Taylor was in that second round. Antoine Winfield was in that second round. Yeah, Trayvon Diggs has been a baller. Yep. You mentioned Jalen Hurts, who's the highest paid player in NFL history. Jonah Jackson's another big name out of that draft as well. So you've got some players who have made some. Devin Duvernay is another good player with the Baltimore Ravens. True. So, yeah. Tyler Biadasz as well. Former Wisconsin center, now with the
that's my center.
Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, see? So I bring that up as an exercise because obviously the fifth-year option day is on Tuesday. But just know that you could be excited tonight about what your team does, and in 3 years, that player could be with another football team. That's how quickly this thing can change in the National Football League. It's not about who you are as a player. Sometimes it's about the situation you are going to. So you hope you're going to a stable situation, especially with the coaching staffs. I played for six coaches, man, in 8 years. You can't help what happens to you. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but you're always grateful for the opportunity. You're grateful to be drafted in the National Football League. And so I say this tonight, good luck to all of the players. Yeah, I look forward to seeing where a lot of them go.
Get them hugs in.
Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Woo! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past. Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like, Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now. Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mullen, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat wherever you listen.